Wisniewski of The Upside to Aging. And today I'm speaking with Jessica Guthrie of Career and Caregiving Collide. Jessica has joined us today to talk about her experience caregiving for her mom during COVID. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And just to get us started off, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and then a little bit about your mom?
Yeah. Okay. So the quick version about myself. I am Jessica, originally from Virginia. I am currently 33 years old, and I am an only child and the daughter of a single mother. And my mother was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's when she was 66 years old. Mm-hmm. And so I was 26 and she was 66. And so I have been caring for her now for about 7 years. We live in Virginia, but for the first half of my journey caring for her, I actually worked full time in Dallas, Texas. And so I traveled back and forth between Texas and Virginia to do my job and then also take care of her. I work in education. I lead an education nonprofit. And so justice, equity, educational, justice and equality matter so much to me, and I see so much similarities in the caregiving community, especially when we talk about dementia, specifically Alzheimer's disease.
And when did you move up from Texas?
So I officially moved from Texas to Virginia to live back with my mom literally right before the pandemic. And so I moved officially back home the year before the pandemic. Yeah. So 2019?
Yeah, 2018.
And so I was grappling with this idea of like, oh my gosh, I'm working from home. People don't understand me. People don't get me. And then literally less than a year later, the pandemic hit and I was like, oh my gosh, welcome to my world. Like people understand now. So yeah, it's been a few years now.
Okay. So with a year of full-time living with your mom then, mm-hmm. when the pandemic hit, do you recall maybe like your first initial response of what this might mean for you and your mom?
Yeah, such a great question. So I think for me, because I'm an only child, because she's a single mom, it's always just been me and my mom. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really feel the sense of like, losing other people around us, because it was always just the two of us. So we always knew how to keep ourselves entertained. But I think when the pandemic hit, what I was thinking about was like, oh my goodness, I can't get my mom out the house to go do things like we usually do. With the pandemic hitting, we could not go to church anymore. She could not sing in the choir anymore. And so, excuse me, things that were like our normal routine, because we thrived on routine, mm-hmm. we had to adjust. And so I think for me, I was like, okay, this is really scary. One, two, we don't know like what we can and cannot do. And so we're losing all of the things that brought my mother joy, engagement, connection, was like, honestly, the first thing that I thought of when it came to COVID. I think that was just thought one. But then for me, as someone who worked full time, I think for me, there was a sense of relief that we were now working from home, all travel was halted, everyone had to figure out what it meant to be fully virtual. Mm-hmm. And I think as someone who has balanced like a full-time executive level career, I almost had like a deep breath, like it was a sigh of relief, because I was no longer having to figure out, you know, showing up and having to explain to people why I was virtual and they were in person. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I think for me, I almost felt like, oh goodness, people now understand me, they get me, and we can create new communities and work structures together that actually allow me to be present for my job and for my mom in a better way than I was doing before.
Mm, wow, that's great. I mean, that talk about a positive within, you know, fighting the light, or as they say.
Yeah.
So how did that play out as the pandemic kind of wore on? I mean, it seems like that would be to your benefit as a full-time worker, but more in the sense of that those initial thoughts about your mom and activities and ensuring that engagement was there. I'm particularly thinking about people coming into the home. Did you have support coming into the home, or did that halt as well?
Oh my goodness. So at the time, yep, I had Miss Sandra. She was our caregiver. I had a caregiver come for 4 hours a day. And at the time it was 3 days a week. And at the start of the pandemic, like, Miss Sandra stopped coming for a while because we were unsure, and we wanted to make sure that, like, we weren't spreading anything to each other. And so after about, I would say, 2 months, Miss Sandra started coming back. But even then, I was always on pins and needles. I was like, oh my gosh, where has Miss Sandra been? What is she bringing into the house? Like, you know, in reality, we know that everything turned out to be fine, but that was probably nerve-wracking time getting back into that routine. However, my mother, like, bounced back. She was fine to be back with Miss Sandra. I think the other thing is that the biggest thing for us was, like, people from church not being able to see people that were like her friend group. Mm-hmm. And like, I think you'll probably get to this question, but I'll just say it now, but like, one of the greatest consequences, detriments of COVID is that, you know, when you don't engage as much, when you lose the routine of speaking to people and other people coming up to you and reacting to folks, you lose that a little bit. And so as much as, you know, my mom had me and Miss Sandra, there was still something that she was losing that I have 100% seen, like, completely decline over the past years, which is, like, so unfortunate because people weren't coming by the house and we weren't going outside. And then even when we started going, it was like drive through church. And so folks could not see her, or like, they were wearing masks. Right. Masks were so hard. It's so hard for dementia when you're wearing masks, because my mom thrives on seeing people's faces. And so masks just confuse her even more. I'm rambling now, but yeah, I'll stop.
No, I think you hit on an excellent point, because I think a lot of the conversation was around the how the transmission of COVID and how it was affecting older adults. Mm-hmm. And when right behind it was, you know, in some respects, an even worse, as you say, consequence to the pandemic is that social isolation and what that means to particularly somebody with dementia or mm-hmm. Alzheimer's. So mm-hmm. I hear that. And I think that's something that we're going to continue to see mm-hmm. play out, like mm-hmm. what that meant. Yep. Now, as a caregiver, it's hard for somebody to put themselves in your shoes, because you're a full-time worker and a full-time caregiver, and you're doing it in the home all at one time. Mm-hmm. And while there was an ease to the pandemic and people going virtually, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like that there's more coming onto your plate than there would have been otherwise, because mm-hmm. there is that separation when you are leaving. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you no longer have that. You're literally full time now at home, 24/7.
Yep.
Do you mind talking about that a little bit and just kind of?
Yes, you were taking me back. I'll never forget just being like, everything just felt so heavy. Yeah. Because it's so concentrated now, right? Like that. But like, to your point, I knew that I was always home for, you know, 2 to 3 weeks at a time, and I was always going to be gone for 4 to 5 days right. just to get a break. Same for my mom, to get a break from me. Right. And like, that was not happening anymore. And so like, I literally had to reprogram everything about how I found energy, how mm-hmm. I reset myself and took care of myself, how I found spaces to breathe when I like was frustrated. Yeah. And so I would say the first thing is just like the concentration of like everything being so intense and in your face all the time. Mm-hmm. Because also with COVID, you're like, oh my God, I can't go anywhere. So I'm like, I totally stuck in the house. So there's that. I would also say, right, like, because, you know, I only had Miss Sandra for 4 hours a day. And so a lot of my energy turns towards like, so what are we going to now do to stay active, to stay engaged? So, you know, we got our walking routine around the neighborhood. We got new puzzles to do, like different workbooks. At the time, she could still do those things. We would, you know, try new recipes, like all the things that people were turning to do during the pandemic by themselves because they were isolated. I was now figuring out, like, how do I keep my mother sharp as possible? Mm-hmm. And that in itself is exhausting because you're just like, what's the new thing going to be today? And so I would say that's the other thing. And I think the third thing that I realized doing all of this is that, like, because everyone, it wasn't just me that was feeling the heaviness. Mm-hmm. Everyone was feeling the heaviness. So, like, no one was calling or engaging or like checking in because they were protecting themselves as they should have, you know? And so you realize, or I learned during this time, like, who's really in your circle? Who's really here for you? Who does my mom really have in her corner? You learn a lot when people had to like figure out how to preserve mm-hmm. themselves. Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Yeah. And so with that, though, did you have, I'm thinking if you had the in-home caregiver, I'm not sure if that came from an agency or mm-hmm. it did come from an agency. Mm-hmm. Did you find that you had continued support through the services, the aging services that were in your community? Were they continuing to outreach?
Mm-hmm. So the company that I used was very much just a caregiving company. Like there were no resources that came attached with that. And then the other resources through like our local area agency on aging, mm-hmm. They had like the things that were more like interactive obviously went on pause. And then I wasn't leveraging any other local supports at the time. And so I would say from what I saw, everything kind of took a pause. And then it wasn't until like I started reaching back out to other people for, you know, questions, insights, perspectives. But I was not a part of a local, like on the ground caregiving community or like, you know, organization to have to feel any loss, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. I think just in general, then, I'm just thinking about, so there's the caregiving role, the physical aspect of it and the emotional in terms of not only the relationship that it's your mom, but just engaging with the person that you are caring for mm-hmm. physically and emotionally. Mm-hmm. But then to then be the one to coordinate services that are coming in or not coming in during this time. Mm-hmm. It makes it a complex situation even more complex.
Yeah, I'm gonna start thinking like, what else could I be used? What else could I have right now that I just don't have that I should actually start thinking about? You know, I think I spend a lot of time thinking like, beyond my caregiver, what are other like levers for me to pull within the area that I live in? Mm-hmm. And so I spent some time like actually researching like what else would I want or need from the list of available things, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're right. I would say, and this is in the pandemic and especially now, we're still in a pandemic, okay? I would say I spend a lot of time coordinating resources, and that in itself, you can make that another full-time job.
Yes, you can.
Communicating between doctors' offices, and even during COVID, we didn't really go to the doctor. Like my mom hadn't seen her doctor in a long time, and at the time, she wasn't. There weren't any major health issues, so it was okay to go that long. Mm-hmm. But even now, like coordinating between the neurologist, coordinating between the GP or the PCP. Okay, now I need this, I need that, and you're just like, I don't understand why these systems don't talk to each other. And I feel like if I don't do this, my mother will be the one that pays the consequence for this. So yeah, coordinator of all the things too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, where's my honorary doctorate?
Right. Yes.
I should be getting this right now, any day.
And no. An extra paycheck. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I guess you were kind of alluding to, we are still in the pandemic, but there is this sense of like lightening. Mm-hmm. Are you finding that there's more support for you now, or has that not changed? Are you, like, as we hopefully are coming to an end, I'm being optimistic here. Mm-hmm. Do you see that there's more support than maybe you did have during the pandemic, or is it kind of the same?
You know, I would say my support's increased mainly because my mother's condition worsened. And so I would say, like, if coming out of the pandemic, my mother was like still walking, ready to rock and roll, like talking, engaging, I think that, you know, it'd be a different story. But I think, you know, the number of people that have access to my mom, the people that stop by the house, right, like who's checking in, all of that has like increased tremendously. Not because people are like, oh, things are loosening. It's because, oh my gosh, my mother is worse than she was, you know, 2 years ago. Yeah. Which you're just like, huh, that's interesting. But I do think that people, especially because my mom is 73, a lot of her, you know, family friends and even church friends, they're all 60 and above. And so they're actually still pretty, how should I say, hesitant to come around in person. But I think in terms of like medical supports, like community resource supports, they're back rolling, moving and shaking, and have been really communicative and helpful.
That's good. Mm-hmm. And then I guess I would have a question. So through all of this, it was during the pandemic that you started Career and Caregiving Collide on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah. Could you just maybe explain your thought process in terms of sharing your story and maybe your experience of doing so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I follow. So March 2021, so on the back end or the second half of the pandemic is when I started this specific Instagram handle, When Career and Caregiving Collide, because I had been sharing on my private Instagram and Facebook for many years. Mm-hmm. But I realized that I was like, I don't see people who look like me, a young Black girl managing a career and taking care of her mother full time. Like, where are we? And so that's when I was like, let me create a public profile and just commit to sharing insights into our experience. Mm-hmm. And that was very much the intent, to create what I never saw myself. Because one thing I did know was that 1 in 4 millennials are caregivers or will be caregivers in the very near future. What I did know is that Alzheimer's disease is one of the leading causes of death in this country, and we're not talking about it. What I did know is that I was 26 years old and had no idea, like, that I needed to be talking to an estate attorney, figuring out wills, power of attorneys, bank, like all that stuff. Like, I figured out as I went, but there was no guidebook. There was no one directing me. Like, of course, there were a couple of books, of course, that I read, but it was still not the same. Right. So I was like, where is the human, realistic insight into this ugly disease and the impact on, you know, caregivers? Yeah. And so that's kind of what came out of this March 2021. It's definitely blown up since then. By no means do I consider myself like an influencer. What I do consider myself is someone who's going to share vulnerably and honestly and be very real about the day-to-day experience of my life and what that means, what I believe needs to be true moving forward, and how we reform the country that we live in to make sure that everyone gets to age with grace. Everyone gets to age with just with dignity, get to age with respect and honor. And like right now, our systems aren't set up for that. So that's not a part of my Instagram, but I feel like that's like my next chapter is to really, you know, change this. It's awful. Yeah.
Well, you have my vote. Yeah. But no, you say you aren't necessarily, but if I was following along on one of your stories, and maybe you can jump in here, but just your recent interaction with getting your mom a Hoyer lift and a hospital bed and a
wheelchair
with mm-hmm. the arms that come off. Mm-hmm. Very, very specific, but very known equipment that is needed for advanced care, mm-hmm. Caregiving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a very exciting moment. And I'll let you tell the story if you don't mind sharing. But I think ultimately, your dialogue that you were offering in terms of the effectiveness and the efficiency of the system to be able to deliver that equipment, mm-hmm. to you, mm-hmm. as a full-time worker, as a full-time caregiver, mm-hmm. is needed to be highlighted, because mm-hmm. it's very different when it just looks like an order was delivered, check mark, on the sheet at the office, mm-hmm. than it is for like the sequence that happens for the full-time caregiver. I'm sorry.
100%. Yeah. Ooh, it was such a journey. Okay, so quick headline. My mother, at the top of February, got a blood clot. So there was pain in her leg, but the pain remained even once the blood thinner started. And so I requested from my PCP, from my mom's PCP, can we get some physical therapy to, like, make sure we don't lose this walking? Little do I know that, like, I had no idea that blood clots were a thing when you get to advanced Alzheimer's disease. Like, this was all normal, but I'm trying to solve, like, everything that I'm seeing on the surface level. Anyway, so I requested physical therapy in February. Finally got started with physical therapy at the end of February, very end of February. Top of March is when, you know, we get PT, OT, a home health aide to come in while PT and OT are there. And the first thing the PT does is order, because she realizes I'm here by myself. At this point, I'd already fired Miss Sandra had retired, and then caregiver is no longer. So I didn't have a full-time caregiver, so it was just me. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing that she recommended was, like, we need to get you a hospital bed, a Hoyer lift, and a wheelchair to help make things easier for you and your mom, because you're by yourself. And so I was like, awesome. The order went in for that at the top of March.
Yeah.
Back and forth between home health, the doctor's office, and the medical equipment company, I did not get a phone call for those items until, what was it? This week. So it was like the week of April 20th. So a month and some change, just to get basic equipment to care for my mother effectively. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got here. The story that you were alluding to, though, is, like, I'm not sure companies realize that, like, people aren't just at home sitting around waiting for them to deliver things, but also, like, you know, not everyone has a caregiver who's, like, waiting for you to arrive. And this is not just for, this is for everything that I've realized. And, you know, the story here is that I got a call on Thursday, and then Friday they came. I had no idea what time they were arriving. I had no idea if I would have help when they got here, because, again, I'm by myself. And, you know, I wake up early and my mom's caregiver arrives, and then the truck pulls in. And I was like, oh my God. I called, I tried to get a window, no one called me back, the system is unclear, and he basically, like, came in and dropped stuff off. But I was so frustrated that, like, my experience was that the DME company doesn't take into account the realities of what caregivers and families are holding. And yes, I am grateful. Yes, I know that I should be glad that I have the stuff, but we've got to treat our families with more respect and understanding than that, because that's not fair. What if I wasn't home? What if I had to work until noon? Right. I had no idea to be able to change the schedule.
Right.
Ugh.
No, but that's the nitty gritty that is where change can start. Because
easy, yeah,
right. It's an easy, and you're right. There are systems in place. I don't think you've said it here, but you said it in your stories. You were kind of alluding to how furniture companies can do this. So the systems are there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The systems are there. What's also interesting, Molly, is that I got a text message after the people left. So you tell me that you all have all these systems with, like, technology texting services, right, yet you can't get it organized,
yeah,
like, on time or clearly for people to work with. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, no.
Or if you call to, like, schedule it and you're told, oh, I have to call the driver. Like, I'm confused why the computer is not telling you that. Like, really basic systems can make people's lived experiences way more pleasant, much easier. And frankly, people will be a lot more amicable, easy to get along with if there weren't frustrating things like that.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I think, if you don't mind me kind of talking off cuff here, what I think a lot of times happens is, especially in the aging services, so many people are used to working or interacting with the professional caregivers. Mm-hmm. And when you have this wave, a huge wave of family caregivers, that needs to change, because you're working with somebody then who also is trying to get this for their mom. Mm-hmm. Trying to get this for their grandma. Like, mm-hmm. These are the people that we love, that we're caring for, and it takes away that, it strips away the ability to just be that. Mm-hmm. Like, you suddenly have to wear a hat that, while yes, you're a full-time caregiver, but you're suddenly forced to wear a hat that you don't necessarily need to be wearing. Mm-hmm. Right? Like,
yeah,
you don't need to be a coordinator here. Like, mm-hmm. you are, but you're doing this out of the love and care for your loved one. And mm-hmm. again, I'm speaking off cuff, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like that we need to be more empathetic is such the wrong word. I think just more aware.
That's it. 100%. I agree with you. And yeah, I feel like an agent sometimes. Like, I'm like navigating, you know, all the things on behalf of my mother. And I, you know, my head just goes like thinking about all the people who don't have children like me or family members like me. Like, how is this system very much impacting other people? That's a different conversation. What I was going to say to you though is your exact point of like, companies, doctors, health professionals are used to talking to each other, right? Or people who can speak the language.
Yeah.
And honestly, to your point of people being more aware, what I have noticed is that they're so quick to keep moving, right? Like, we only have a short amount of time. I got to get through this many patients, this many people, that they lose the essence of like pausing to engage with the human that's across from them.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, COVID actually exacerbated that because everyone was stressed. We had to move through. It was like high alert all the time. But I was just like, a most recent experience with it, which is home, was with home health. You know, they like came in and was like, okay, we're discharging your mother. And I was like, but why? Well, according to insurance, like, your mother's not progressing. It's time for us to go. Like, that's the headlines, basically.
Right.
But in the moment, what I needed was for them to actually take the extra 2 minutes and say, here were the goals that we put in for your mother. Here is what we're looking for. Here's what we haven't seen. Given this, we actually can no longer remain in the home because we can no longer build the insurance if, right, we're not seeing progress in these areas. That took 30 extra seconds.
Right.
Right. But how do we slow down to be more aware of the family member across from you who doesn't have the medical lingo, who is with their family member all day, every day, and you're just coming in for 15 minutes? Like, just everyone would benefit from taking a deep breath and slowing down and seeing people as humans, not as patients on a checklist.
Yeah. Yes. Period. Yes. And, you know, I think that raises a good point too. Like, just because you're a family caregiver and maybe you don't know the medical lingo does not mean that you don't know what's happening in this house right now. Mm-hmm. Like, yep. you are fully aware, and I think you're right. Just give me the steps so that I can be there too.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like, not mm-hmm. 2 steps behind you because you're too busy. I thank you for sharing that, because I think that is very important, and I think that it's in those examples and experiences that is where the change is needed.
Mm-hmm.
because this system has been around for so long, and it's worked in a certain way for so long. It really does go back to those building blocks that needs attention. So with all that, I think my final question that I have for you is, do you think that the pandemic has caused or led to any long-term effects that you may be aware of now to your caregiving?
Oh, good question. So there's two sides to this coin. I think the pandemic forced me to become even, I was already a creative person, but I think it led me to becoming even more creative. It led me to becoming even more appreciative of the small, joyful moments with my mother. It led me to realize that there is an experience and an adventure in everything that we do. I think the pandemic, you know, I was able to throw my mom one of those drive-by birthday parties, right? Like, but what did that exhibit? Like, it gave my mother a chance to show up as her authentic self, but in the most creative way and in a safe way, right? I was able to, you know, take my mother and drive around her old neighborhood where she grew up. Again, it was just the two of us and a family friend, but to be able to find joy in those moments and creating memories. And so I would say, like, that is just a huge, just like, benefit of the time that COVID gave me, which I, now that my mother has progressed so much, I'm so grateful for it. It's like, that's what I'd say is like the positive side coming out of COVID. I think some of the consequences of COVID just generally is like, I am just seeing, and we will continue to see the impacts of the social isolation on our loved ones. And for me, like as an adult, I work full-time with adults, but like, my day-to-day is just convos with my mom, aka talking to myself. And so, you know, I as a 33-year-old have to like reacclimate myself and like, what does it mean? How do I engage with people again? Which I know this sounds so strange, but I think that like there are a lot of folks having to figure out like who they are again. And I see that in myself. And then the last thing I'll say is that I think you know, we lost a lot of people. So like my father passed away during the pandemic, a number of family friends died as a result of COVID. And you just realize how fragile life is. And so this is less of a positive or a negative, but I think like coming out of it, I'm just thinking like, how do we get more transparent and more honest about what we're experiencing, how we can help each other, how we show up for each other, because we never know what people are holding or battling. And if this time hasn't taught me anything, like we need to be a community of people who are all in for each other. Like how do we show up as community resources for each other? Because we have no one else. Hospitals were overrun with people. We weren't going to the doctor, but we had people in our families and like circles that showed up for us. And so like, how do we keep that coming out of this time? Because if one thing caregiving has taught me is that, sure, I can, you know, I can do everything is what you tell yourself, right? Like, I'm gonna make this work. You push through. But like one thing I have learned about myself in the past 2.5 years has been like, you can't carry it all, Jessica, right? Even if you think you can, no matter how great and how organized you are, something's still going to crumble. And I think I've learned these 2.5 years to actually say the thing that I need, to call up and like, you know, connect with folks that would bring me joy, laughter, whatever I might need. And I don't think I always thought that way, especially at the beginning of my journey, but that's definitely something I want to take into how I continue to caregive even post the pandemic.
Wow. I mean, people take years, like their whole life to figure something like that out. That is, I mean, that's wise and incredible that you've found that for yourself. So thank you so much for sharing. I mean, and honestly, in just the short time that we've spoken, it exudes from you. Like what you're saying is so important and what you're sharing is so important. And I really appreciate your time today to talk to us about it, because I am in full support of your mission And the love that you have for your mom.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Yeah.
I'm here anytime you want to talk.
Okay, good. So what I'll be doing is I'll be sharing your Instagram handle down below in the description, but we'll also pop up here somewhere as well. And Jessica, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. This was so much fun. I also hadn't really talked about COVID. Like, I obviously caregiving all the time, but even some of your questions just took me back to a very distinct moment in time. So yeah, just thank you for holding space.